Welcome to the New Church Buccleuch. This is an audio recording of a sermon given by Pastor Mark.
Good morning, everybody. As we come closer to the church's birthday, which is the 29th of June, we prepare by thinking more about what the church means for us, or what the Lord has given to this world, and what the Lord is calling each one of us to do. To build a new Christian church. The Lord came in His first coming to present Himself to the world, to allow us to make a one-on-one relationship with Him. But the Lord said, I will come again, and I will give you new truths that will guide you to all truths. And so the Lord has come again. Not in the fire and brimstone and war and famine like we think in worldly terms. But that's describing the fight that continues within each one of us to turn away from the evils and the falsities and instead to embrace the things of the Lord. The Lord has come again, but in a quiet, healing, merciful, miraculous way to help each one of us put away the things of this world, to put away the desires of this world, and to grow in His truth and in His love in a deep and meaningful way. And so we celebrate what the Lord has given to this world. And that's what we celebrate on the church's birthday. Not the organization, but what the Lord has given to the whole world that is available to everyone. If we too are quiet, if we to come to the Lord, if we to study His Word and humble ourselves before Him, the Lord opens up to us the Scriptures and shows us deep and wonderful things. And today we're going to look at the story in the book of Revelation, the book of Revelation, which is not a book that we read very often because it doesn't really make much sense to us. But from a new church perspective, we look at this and we marvel at what the Lord is trying to teach us and where He is trying to lead us. So we look today at the four horsemen. Now before we get there, I want to talk about mirrors. I trust that you all this morning, it looks like you have all looked in the mirror. You have all, whether you're brushing your teeth or part of your getting dressed or doing your makeup, you've looked in the mirror. Right, and we look at ourselves hopefully in the mirror every day, and we look at ourselves to check, you know, what does my hair look like today? What does my face look like? How are the bags doing under my eyes? How tired do I look? You know, how much makeup do I have to put on? Or do I need a shave today? We look at ourselves in the mirror, and the reason we do that is so that we can then fix what is wrong. What do I see, and how do I fix it? Now, the Lord's Word is exactly the same. The Lord's Word is a mirror. We look into the Lord's Word and we see there presented in it an image of our life. We look into the Lord's Word and we see reflected back the states that we experience. If we think of the Good Samaritan, right? There's a story of someone who goes out of their way to help someone they don't even know. There's reflected in that story, if we are the Good Samaritan, there are times in our life when we will go that extra mile, we will go out of our way, we will help someone who is in need, and we can see ourselves in that story. At times, maybe we see ourselves as those people who pass by. Maybe there are times in our life where we know, I should have helped that person. I should have acted differently. And so every story in the Lord's Word reflects back on our life. The good things, the loving things, the kind things, the true things that are in our lives, but also reflects back the hurtful things, the selfish things. So the Lord's Word is there as a mirror to reflect back the states of our life. But then, just like a mirror, where we look at ourselves and fix what we see is wrong, the Lord's Word is there to help us fix the things that are wrong in our lives. If we know the Lord's word, reflected back are the things that need to change in our life. I want to look today at the story of the four horsemen in the book of Revelation. And you can follow along in your pew card. You can read from Revelation 6. And I'm going to read slowly through it, and we break it up bit by bit, because there is so much rich imagery in the book of Revelation, and every word carries with it a meaning about our lives. Now I, that's John on the Isle of Patmos, now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, the Lamb is the Lord, opened one of the seals on the Lord's word. We can go to the Lord's word and we can read the Lord's word and we can see it just as a history and just as a people. Or we can see it just as things that someone did long ago. But when the Lord opens a seal in our lives, in the Lord reveals to us, is showing us something deeper. And so right at the beginning of this message, the Lord is trying to show us something deeper from His Word. So I, John, saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." Now that's an invitation to each one of us. The Lord is calling us to His Word and saying, come and see. Come and see the story of your life. Come and see what I would love you to do. Come and see the vision that I have for your spiritual life. So come and see. And then I looked, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went out conquering and to conquer. I'm going to stop there for a moment. So in this story, in Revelation, we're going to see different horses, different color horses, and different riders on that horse. Now each of these images is going to represent something within each one of us. So this first image is a more appealing vision. If we think about the white horse, we read later on in the book of Revelation, the Lord appearing on a white horse. So we know that the white horse is something good, something true. And the Lord's word, a horse, whether we're talking about a donkey or a mule or a horse, represents our mind and the power and the strength of our mind to raise us up above the things that we're currently experiencing. We live in a world and a life where we get so caught up in the day-to-day living that we can't see the bigger picture. We can't plan where we're going. We're just dealing with fires. We're trying to just get through the day. But a horse represents that part of our mind where if we understand something, if we have wrestled with something and truly understand it, we're able to lift up our minds and we're able to, as it were, look down on our current situation. We're able to see and understand more widely what is going on in our lives. So a horse represents that part of our mind where we understand something and that understanding lifts us up above the current toils of life so we can get a different perspective. When we think about a horse, it's powerful, it's strong, it's fast, can take us places, right? And when we understand something, the power of our mind, it lifts us up and we're able to think about things here and think about things there. It takes us places. So a horse in the Lord's word represents that part of our mind when we understand something. And the color of the horse is white, representing the true things. And on him, a rider. We think about our lives. If we have a good understanding, a true understanding of something, then we ride on that horse. The decisions that we make, the perspective that we have, the quality of our life then is based on that understanding. So the rider, the quality of our life, when we have a strong, clear, pure understanding, in this case, of the Lord's word. That's what makes our understanding clear and pure and true, is knowing the Lord's word. And so we see the rider having a bow in their hands. Now we associate bow and arrow as part of a fight, as part of warfare. But now we think about a bow, the arrow is the part that shoots and pierces. But the bow is where the power is. The bow is where the strength is. The bow is where everything comes from in order to fight that battle. And so the bow there is an image of the Lord's word. Right? If we're going to fight a spiritual battle, we're going to need the power of the Lord's word in our hand. And on his head was given a crown. If you think about a crown, it's a sign of a ruler, a king. When we rule, we are putting on our head the decisions. We are now responsible to make the right decisions for a people if we are a king. We have crowns on our own heads when we rule our lives based from the truths that the Lord has. Truths from the Lord, power from his word, riding on an understanding of those two things. So that's an image that the Lord has for our minds. He would love our minds to be strong, to be clear, to be pure, to be fighting the good fight, fighting against the evils, not in someone else's life, but in my life. That's the battleground, my life. So we carry on reading, and we see the next horse. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come and see." Right, so here's something else that is reflected in our life. Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given him a great sword. Now we think of this horse, again, an understanding, but it's fiery red. Now, red is a color that we associate with love. But this is, we can tell from the rest of the reading, is not a good love. Right? This is one of killing, and it's murder. It's the selfish love. It's a angry love. It's fiery. Okay, if we think about anger, it's fiery. So this is an understanding that has anger in it, that has a lot of self in it. And it was given to go out and to kill, to take peace. We've all experienced anger in our life, and when we experience anger, we are never at peace. When we are angry, we hold a resentment in us. We are never satisfied, right? We're always wanting to get back at them. We're always wanting to make sure that people know we're right and that they're wrong. It takes peace. Anger takes peace away from our own lives, and it kills people. It kills us. It kills our spiritual life. But then everything that's flowing out of that anger is killing other people. Physically, people might hurt other people. But we can kill people with our words, by treating them unfairly, unjustly. So it's not just murdering someone physically, but taking away their life, putting them down all the time, criticizing them. That's killing them. And we can do that when we're angry with them, when we want to put them down and we want to lift ourselves up and think ourselves great. That's what anger does. Takes our own peace away, kills us, and kills other people at the same time. And in his hand, he held a great sword. Now a sword, we think of the image that comes later in the book of Revelations, a sword of truth. And the Lord's truth is powerful. And it's supposed to be used for good, but we can take the Lord's truth and we can use it for something hurtful. And immediately, when we take the Lord's word and try and use it for something hurtful, it becomes false. The Lord's word, the Lord's truth is there to lead us to what is good. As soon as we take the Lord's word and use it to defend or to put somebody else down, it's immediately a falsity. Might be the same idea, but just driven from a different heart, a heart of love or a heart of anger. So it's a great sword. There is power, and we just think about the words that we say to people in anger and how hurtful, how it cuts deep when we say things that are true to someone, but out of anger. So that reflects back to us a part of our life that we sometimes fall into, a horse, fiery red. And we move on to the next one. And then he opened the third seal, and I heard the third living creature say, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. And do not harm the oil and the wine." The black horse represents the darkness. We think about the Lord when he came into the world. He said, "I come to bring light into this world, light into the darkness." A darkness is a lack of understanding. We just don't know the truth. And so we see the rider holding scales. When we do not know the truth, we aren't really sure about things. What, we've got to weigh them up. What is true? Well, today, this is true. And tomorrow, in a different circumstance, well, that is true. We're in darkness. We don't know what is right, what is wrong. And so we're trying all the time to weigh things up, and we're never quite sure. And then we see from the voice from the midst saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius. The denarius was the smallest coin. Saying, there's so little value in the truth. When we don't have the truth, there is no value in the truth. Of little value in our lives. We all go through times in our life where we just don't know. We're trying to weigh things up. We're in a state of darkness. We wish we had more insight. We wish we had someone to turn to who could help us out. A state of darkness. The dark horse. And then he opened the fourth seal, and I heard a voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come and see." So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed him. And power was given to him over a fourth of the earth to kill with the sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now this fourth horse is pale. And that color, that pale or the lack of color represents that the lack of understanding, the lack of truth in our lives. Okay, the pale horse. And he said, the name of him who sat on it was Death. If we do not have the Lord's truths in our lives, then we suffer what the Bible calls the second death. Not just a physical death, but a spiritual death, which is hell. Not going to heaven, but instead going to hell. So this is an important image to us that reminds us that we need the Lord's truth. The Lord's truth gives us life. This pale horse lacks life, lacks understanding of the Lord's word. It's unimportant in our lives. Why should I go to church? Why should I read the Lord's word? Why should I say my prayers? There's no use in it. There's no power in it. There's no value in it. And with that comes spiritual death. Spiritual death, it says, to kill with the sword. Okay, truth is my truth and your truth and whoever's truth. There is no real truth. That kills us. It kills other people when we don't really know what's right and what's wrong. With hunger. To hunger for something is to want it. When we are without truth, when we're without understanding of the Lord's truth, we find ourselves in selfishness. We find ourselves doing the things that please us, but we're never satisfied. We're always hungering for the next thing. We're always after the things of this world, wanting it to satisfy us, and we're never, ever satisfied. And we suffer death. Death being selfishness. Things feel good, and so we do it. Selfishness rules our life. It's not about others. It's not about what's best for them. It's about best for me. And the beasts of the earth, the beasts are living things. They represent loves, but in this case, it's negative. It's the lusts that we have in our life. We lust after the things of this world. We lust after money and possessions and pride and status. So in these four horses, we see four different kinds of understanding of the Lord's word. A pure and clean understanding of the Lord's word that has power to fight the good fight. We have an understanding that is based on selfishness, that is lacks love for other people and is filled with anger. We have the black horse, just darkness, being without any truth from the Lord's word. And that kills us, kills other people. And the pale horse, doing things because they feel good, lusting after the things of this world. And so reflected in the story and reflected in those four horses are states of our life. These are all states that we go through. We can be the white horse today, and this afternoon we can be the red horse. We get upset with someone. And during the week we are struggling with something and we find ourselves as the black horse, struggling to find our way. And at moments we find ourselves in selfishness and we're doing things because we want to and not thinking about anybody else. These are reflections of us. But the Lord wants each one of us to go to Him, to know that we are weak, that we have faults, that we have understandings, we have moments in our life where we are far from Him. But just like looking at ourselves in the mirror and fixing our hair or fixing our makeup, the Lord wants us to go to Him knowing, I've seen this in myself. Lord, please help me. Now today is a Holy Supper service, and it's a wonderful opportunity to do just that. To come to the Lord knowing, I've seen this in myself, and I need to fix this. Lord, please help me. Please guide me. Give me your courage, your strength, your truth to fight that good fight. The Lord is with us all the time. And it is the Lord who's showing us these reflections. It is the Lord who shows you who you truly are. So don't feel afraid that I've seen this in myself. The Lord has led you to see that. And the Lord will work with you to heal that. This is the promise of the Lord. And this is the promise of the Lord in this new Jerusalem that we see descending from heaven. The Lord is here to help us achieve that vision of a golden city, a perfect heavenly life, filled with love, filled with gold, all that gold representing love, and the truth that shines from it. That's the vision that the Lord has for each one of our lives. And He's using the images of His Word to teach us and guide us to reflect on our lives and to make the change to achieve that heavenly vision. Amen. To the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.